Behold the wondrous works of God. Job chapter 37 and verses 1 to 14. Three thoughts. By his voice, God commandeth the lightning, the rain, the snow, verse 1 to 6, determines the activities of men and beast, verse 7 to 8, commandeth the whirlwind, the snow, the clouds, verse 9 to 11. He decrees whatsoever comes to pass on the face of the earth, of the world in the earth. And the third thought, that's verse 12, and the third thought, verse 13, he does so for correction, for his land, and for mercy. God judges his creation by his providence, by the way, in the way the entire universe functions, in particular the happenings upon earth. It is all by his sovereign decree, by what God determines. By what God does, he determines and directs the activities and plight of man and beast. This is how great he is. We often do not realize, living in the environment that we are in, we said it is nature. So all things come naturally, and it happens just like that. Well, what is the determining force behind it? Elihu is enlightening us to help us to see that every phenomenon that we see upon earth, God is directing it. And the Lord wants us to know, because all these things determine your actions, your activities, you see. And he wants us to know that he is the determinator of all things. And so when we go back to him, when we seek him, when we look to him, you'll find that he puts all things in place for us. This is how great God is. He's the determiner of all things, or determinator of all things around us. And thus, what more? Our lives, right? Our very lives are determined by him. And so let us bow in humble adoration and fear as we understand the person of God that is before us. Who is this God? All these things that are happening to us, he is the determining factor, determine all things. And the Lord wants us to see and know. And Matthew Henry likewise shows us the same understanding that we hear, that we read. A place for you here. How great is God, our God, and greatly to be feared. Verse 13 in particular, when we look at the happenings of the environment around us, the surroundings that happened, we see one thing. Right? He causes it to come, whether for correction, for his land, or for mercy. So God moves all things to the determination of our well-being. How important it is that the people of God gets right with God. How important it is that the people of God finds their bearing with him, finds their orientation of life through him, because he is indeed the determinator of all things. Right? By him proceedeth all things. And so from verse 1 to 6, the man Elihu describes the movement of the things around us by the voice of God. God speaks. And when he speaks, you see the happenings around us. The lightning, the rain, the snow. Verse 1 of our text says, at this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directed it under the whole heaven. In other words, God is directing all things that is happening in the universe around us. And God wants us to know, right, that He is that overarching being, God Himself. And indeed, it is by the word of God, the utterance of God from on high, that this universe comes into its existence. And Elihu tells us likewise, by his word, the world is sustained by his power. So John understood this. He says, all things were made by him. Who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. The Lord Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The Lord wants us to live in the light, to know the Savior, to know the Determinator, or the man that determines all things. If you are acquainted with him, if you are close to him, then you can turn your eyes upon Jesus. And all the darkness will dispel, light will come in. All the weariness will dispel itself, and God will renew your strength. And the Lord wants us to turn to him, turn to him. How can we turn to him? Well, by looking to him. As we draw nigh to him, as we gather to worship him, you would hear, as we open the scriptures, the voice of God speaking to us. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. By the voice of God, the phrase that was repeated again and again in these first six verses, the voice of God showing the movement of the scenes of the weather around us, the lightning and the thunder, the forming of the snow. When he saith to the snow, God saith to the snow, you know. He saith to the snow to form itself, to come upon earth, just as the manna appeared on the ground one morning. You remember Israel was in the wilderness? How God chose to bless his land by causing the manna to fall from heaven? Why did he not cause the manna to fall in Canaan, but only in the wilderness where the Israelites were? Because there were his people, you see. We are precious in the sight of God, and the Lord wants us to realize, know his care for us, so that we would draw nigh to him. So we say, just as the manna appeared on the ground one morning when the Israelites were in the wilderness, it was not snow, but snowy food, right? Like coriander seed, like snow, white frost. They saw on the ground lots of it, and they could just simply pick it up. They could just simply pick it up, and there they will eat. That was their daily bread for 40 years, you know. 40 years, God fed them. Out of nothing, God fed them. And God wants us to know, as we draw nigh to him, we see him. You recall when Abraham came to Canaan from the Ur of the Chaldees. Yeah, we've been studying this, and there was suddenly a famine. When he arrived there, famine, no food. It was a test, God's test for Abraham. Did he realize it? Well, the Lord wants us to realize it. A test for us. What grave test that goes on in our lives daily, whether it is a body ailment that comes to you suddenly, how frightening that can be. When the functions of the body suddenly loses its normal ability, and you find yourself not able to comprehend anymore, how frightening it is. Well, God is the one who determines all things, and you know, sometimes He has to catch our attention deliberately so that we would realize that He's trying to speak to us. Likewise, when God gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, it was in the midst of thunder and lightning. Why did God send the thunder and the lightning? Well, it was given so as to prove His people. Exodus 20, 20 and 21. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." That ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God is. The thick darkness. Suddenly there was a thick darkness. How did the thick darkness appear? Where did it come from? Well, God enacted that seed upon Mount Sinai so that the people trembled before Him. What was He doing? He was giving to them His law. He was giving to them His law that they may know it, that His fear may be before their faces, that we sin not. So God is speaking to us by His moral character when He enacted the scene of the darkness, the lightning, and the thundering. Likewise, in the world around us, when we look at the things that are happening around us, God is giving a message to His people. When Jesus hung on the cross from 12 noon to 3 p.m., there was a sudden darkness that came upon Jerusalem. Our Lord was bearing on the cross the sins of the world. He came to save sinners by being our sin bearer. This He did upon the cross. And Israel beheld, and we today through the scriptures, the dark times when our Lord took our sins upon Himself. God wants us to know, you see, by the happenings on the earth, God is enacting and speaking to us. And the Lord wants us to hear. He has a message for you by what is happening around you. Are you sensitive to the things that goes on around you? Are you sensitive to the voice of God speaking to you? Elihu is speaking to us. He's saying to us that God is speaking to us. But are we listening? Day in, day out. The psalmist says, His voice is gone out to the earth. Are we listening? And God wants us to hear. For He does all these things so that we may be directed in life. God leads us. Verse 7 and 8. He sealeth up the hand of every man that men may know his work. Then the beasts go into the dens and remain in their places. He seals up the hand of every man in frost and snow, Matthew Henry said. Husbandmen cannot follow their business, or some tradesmen nor traveler when the weather is extreme. The plow is laid by, the shipping laid up. Nothing is to be done, nothing is to be got, that men, being taken off from their own work, may know His work and contemplate and give Him the glory of that. And by the consideration of that work of His in the weather, which seals up their hands, be led to celebrate his other great and marvelous works. What is it? Well, God wants us to know, right, by what happened around us, that we may be directed to him, that our thoughts may be for his honor, for his glory, all the time. He doesn't want us to be distracted when we are, upon any account, Matthew Henry says, disabled from following our worldly business and taken off from it. We should spend our time rather in the exercises of piety and devotion. So for the people of God, you realize that our daily activity ought to be the quiet meditation upon the Word of God, the quiet meditation upon the works of God, the quiet meditation upon God, you see. And that is how we have the strength of our being, you see. When we are not meditating upon God, giving glory to Him in our minds, in our thoughts, in our hearts, we are not guarding ourselves and our minds wander, that's where we find ourselves stumbling. That's where fear comes in. That's where we become discomfited. So we need to find, as it were, that haven of rest, that place of refuge we have with God, that is your communion with God, your fellowship with God, your time with God, that has been broken. We are disturbed, but that must not be for the people of God. We must guard it. We must cultivate it. We must cherish it. And we must nourish it so that we have that constant communion with God, that constant receiving of strength, you see. In Isaiah 40, you see how it was described by Isaiah, that the people of God may renew their strength as they wait upon God. Do we do so to wait upon God? Do we do so to seek Him, to look to Him, to behold Him? Well, that's what the Lord wants us to see and know and determine, you see. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that are meditating upon God and His Word and His person, and that is the cultivation of fellowship with God. It is only in that way we can be protected from the attack of the evil one. We can be protected, we can be kept, we can be strengthened, so that we walk, we will not faint, we will run and not be weary, because it is God who giveth power to the faint. It is God who increases the might of them that had no strength. You see, that's the secret of strength. And for Job, during the time of his calamity, it was almost so great a trial. It was so prolonged a trial. So great and so prolonged. And God sent Elihu in that moment where we see the great oppression of the enemy, to provide the way of escape, to provide the way out, to provide the help that is needed. And you would see and you would realize that we are in a battlefield. And we are in that state of constant warfare. And the things that happens around us, the things that comes to us through the happenings around us, driven by God. And it drives us toward Him. And it must be, unless it drives us towards Him to honor Him, to give glory to Him, then we'll find that we have no strength. So Matthew Henry says that we should spend our time in the exercises of piety and devotion. That should be our constant companion, that fellowship with God must not be broken by any external disturbance. That fellowship with God. And for Job, the threatening was very great because it came in the form of the three friends. It came in many other forms to disturb the peace of the people of God. But we must not allow it to discomfort us. And so the people of God certainly must wait upon Him. The people of God certainly must realize, and as Isaiah says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And this applies to us. And we must apply it for ourselves so that we will, in the vicissitudes of life, in all the activities that comes, happenings that overwhelms us, that we would find in Him strength. Exodus 9 verse 20, it was quoted. When God, through Moses, said to Pharaoh, right, that He would rain hail from heaven and all must run into the house to hide. Those who did not, they all perished. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. You see, by the word of God, by the wisdom of God's word, daily you are protected. Daily you are shown the dangers. Daily you are instructed by the still small voice of God, the pitfalls. So are you diligent in meditating upon the word of God? Are you diligent? Is that communion real? Because if that communion is real and sure, then you will certainly find the needful help for each day and throughout the day. And so the Lord tells us that there's no two ways. That's the way. And God will see us through. Verse 9 to 11. Commandeth the whirlwind, the snow, the clouds. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given. By the breath of God, the snow came. Where did it come from? Well, Elihu tells us, by the breath of God. And the breath of the waters is straightened, and also by watering he wearieth the thick clouds. He scattereth his bright clouds. So in the winds, they blow in different directions, producing different effects. And out of the hidden place comes the whirlwind. Where did it come from? So powerful, so strong. The Lord wants us to see and to understand that He is the one by His word, the word of His power, He commandeth all these things. And as we see the things happening around us, it must direct us back to our God. And so, we see the world in a different perspective when we understand God. He's the determinator of all things. And yet, if you know Him personally, right, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, He is your God, and you know that He cares for you, that He loves you, and that He serves you at the right hand of the Father by His continual intercession for you, so that you will be kept, so that you will be protected, so that you will be blessed by His power. Did not Jesus say to the Father, none that the Father gives to Him will be lost. None. And God wants us to know, and may the Lord help us to see and understand what He is doing for us. Behold the wondrous works of God. Well, we should continue the next time. As we meditate upon verse 13, He does so for correction, for His land, and for mercy. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy grace. Comfort us by Thy Holy Spirit. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.